we've been studying on the Ten Commandments, and certainly we know that the we're not under the law when it comes to being saved or even staying saved. And aren't you glad of that today? Because, I mean, if you look at everything that the Scriptures have to say about the law, we know the law was a schoolmaster. The law showed us that we are all, that we're all sinners. We've all come short of the glory of God. The law shows us our need of a Savior. But the law can save nobody. Amen? It's always been grace. It's always been grace through faith that has saved everybody. And so when we think about the law, sometimes we say, well, we're not under the law, so it's not important. It is important. In fact, you know as well as I do that countries all over the world, you know, to show you the impact that God has, to show you that there is a true and living God, to show you that Jesus Christ is the true and living God. Have you ever wondered why all the countries have the Ten Commandments as their basic laws? Now, they don't say it's the Ten Commandments, but it's illegal to kill in just about every country in the world. It's illegal to steal in just about every country in the world. If you look at these Ten Commandments, you'll see that almost everybody bases their laws on these things. But yet they'll say, well, we don't believe in God, or we're atheists, or we don't believe in Jesus Christ. But at the same time, they have these laws there. And so those people that say, well, we all came from apes, and you know, and everything is, it's if it's, you know, relevancy. In other words, what's good for you is good for you, and what's good for me is good for me. Well, yeah, but where did they get then that we're supposed to not kill and not steal? Who told them that? Because it's been put in their hearts. It's been put in their hearts to know the Ten Commandments. Now, remember, the Jews, the Ten Commandments were written down on stone for them. But the Bible says that the Gentiles, it's in their hearts. In other words, at a certain age, you reach a certain age to where you know that it's wrong to steal, and you know it is wrong to tell a lie, and you know it's wrong to worship other gods, and you know that you're guilty before it. We call that the age, you know, where the age of innocence ends, and where we get the knowledge of good and evil. And so what we've been doing is we've been looking at the Ten Commandments and looking at each one. And when you look at each one, the one thing that you'll find all the way through, the consistent thread all the way through is this. It doesn't matter which Ten Commandment we're looking at, we're all guilty of everyone we've looked at so far. And you know, and we looked at some of the extreme things, like for instance, you'll have no other gods before me. We say, oh, I've never done that. Everybody in this room's done that. Because the second you put anything above the Lord, the second that you'd rather do something else rather than worship the Lord, then that has become your God. You say, well, how about graven images? There's lots of things that we may not actually carve out, and if you do, don't tell me. But if we may not carve out certain, you know, a piece of wood and start worshiping it. But I tell you this, I know a lot of people that worship their cars. I know a lot of people that worship their bank accounts. You see, we're guilty of every one of them. And on top of that, James says if you break one, you're guilty of breaking them all. Now, and not only that, but we even learned when we looked at the thou shalt not commit adultery, that even your thoughts, you're just as guilty when it comes to your thoughts as you are the actions. That's the reason it's so absurd for anybody to say you could lose your salvation. Because my first question to them is, when a person comes to me and says, well, I just think you could lose your salvation, the first thing I say to them is, are you saved? You know what they say every single time? Oh, yes. You mean to tell me that every time a person that believes that they could lose their salvation, and when you ask them if they're saved, isn't it a strange thing how they haven't lost it? But yet they tell you, you can lose it. You couldn't keep your salvation 5 minutes, folks. I mean, if you look at what that Bible has to say about the law and everything that makes you guilty, I mean, think about this. If you know to do good and you don't do it, if you have a lack of faith, if you worry, if you have an impure thought, if you break one of the commandments, you break them all. You couldn't stay safe 5 minutes if your life depended on it. That's the reason the grace of God is so great. Amen? But what the law does do, it shows us just how short we fall from the glory of God. And we all fall short. Now, I'm going to teach on this morning. If you look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 15, we're looking at our next commandment, and it's just simple. It says, thou shalt not steal. Is that clear enough? Thou shalt not steal. Now, you say, well, what is the definition of stealing in the Bible? It's the same thing as you and I have been taught our entire lives. It's taking something that's not yours. It really is that simple. If something doesn't belong to you, keep your fingers off of it. Amen? That's stealing, because if you take it and it doesn't belong to you, that is the biblical definition of stealing. Now, just like we noticed before, the world has a way of changing the names of sins to try to make it seem less bad, okay? And this is no different. We call it stealing. The Bible calls it stealing. And there are all kinds of things that you can steal. Do you know the Bible even talks about man stealing in the Bible? You know what that is? That's kidnapping. That it talks about that. And the Bible talks over and over and over about stealing, and the Bible makes it very clear you're taking something that isn't yours when you're stealing. Now, like I said, the world likes to put different names on it. So, you know, why? Because everybody knows they're guilty, and we can't stand the fact that we're guilty of sin. So what we try to do is make it easier on ourselves and just change the name of it, make it sound more sophisticated. I'll give you some other names of stealing that you find in the world. Extortion, burglary, defrauding, misappropriating. There's a political word for you. Embezzle, swindle. You know what every one of those things mean? Stealing. Every one of them, okay? And so you can call it whatever you want to call it, but at the end of the day, stealing is stealing. Now, there are many stories in the Bible about thieves. You find them over and over and over. And many of them, if you think about, see, when we think about a thief, we think about somebody who just, you know, how many of you know the story of Achan? You remember when they went into Jericho and the Lord says, listen, the first spoils are mine. By the way, I just want to remind you that all the way through that Bible, the first spoils belong to the Lord. Amen. Okay? In other words, it doesn't matter what you have, you should give the Lord first, and then after that, give it everybody else. The Lord always comes first, okay? But what the Lord said was this. He goes, Jericho is the very first city. Once you come into the land of Canaan and you go in there and you wipe out these people like I've told you to wipe them out, the first city you're going to come to is Jericho. They remember they crossed over the Jordan River there at Gilgal. They came into the land of Canaan. The first city that they had to go to battle against was Jericho. And they made quick work of them. We've all heard the story about the walls of Jericho come tumbling down, okay? And so they go in and they defeat Jericho. And then after they got done defeating Jericho, then they go to this little tiny town of Ai and they get whipped. Joshua can't figure out why. So he talks to the Lord and said, Lord, why'd you allow this thing to happen? And the Lord said, I told you that the spoils belong to me. The first spoils belong to me of Jericho. And somebody took something that wasn't theirs. Who'd the spoils belong to? The Lord. So that means if somebody took those spoils, they stole from the Lord. Boy, what a thing to have to answer for. I stole from my Creator. Whew. All right? And so we know, and you say, well, what did he steal? Well, according to the Bible, he stole a goodly Babylonian garment. He stole a 200 shekels of silver, and he stole a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. By the way, when he stole those things, you know what it said before? When he was confronted about it, he said this. He says, I saw them, and I took them. You ever notice when you're reading the Bible, when it comes to people taking something in theirs, it always starts with, I saw. You need to be careful what you look at, folks. You remember David, when he looked upon Bathsheba? He stole somebody's wife. Why? He was looking. He shouldn't be looking. Amen? You go back to even Genesis chapter 3. When you have Eve there, you know what she did before she ate the fruit? She looked at it. She looked upon it. It is pleasant to the eyes. Question, who'd that fruit belong to? He said, of all the other trees in the garden you can eat of, but this one right here you don't eat of. Whose tree was it? It was God's. She stole from the Lord. But it began by the sight. It began by looking. We need to be careful what we look at. And so we see example after example after example. Another example would be Jacob's wife, Rachel. Remember when Jacob and he took his wives and he left his father-in-law, Rachel decided she wanted some of her father-in-law's stuff. So she took it. By the way, the thing she took was false idols. And it almost cost the lives of all of them because she took it. I'll tell you another example, and y'all should love this one. Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Now we're in that tax season, and this is a good time to be talking about stealing. Amen. But Zacchaeus was a tax collector, and if you remember, he was somewhat of a thief. But he was one of those, you know, white-collar thieves. I mean, he wasn't the type of guy who's going to break into your house or anything, but he was the type of guy who would take more taxes than what you were supposed to pay. And he did it for his own gain. Luke 19:8, it says, "Behold," here's what Zacchaeus himself said, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." Why would he say that? Because he had been doing it. Amen. Now he's making it right. I'm giving Zacchaeus the benefit of the doubt here. He's trying to do right. He's saying, listen, I stole from people and I'm going to make it right. Amen. But he's still a thief. He still stole. Okay. So the Bible is full of thieves and the world is full of thieves. And you know, there used to be a time when you could go to bed at night and not worry about locking the door. Today we lock it. We put bars in the windows and install security systems and buy a dog that's, you know, that is ready to attack people. That's what we do. Why? Because there are thieves in the world. Same with our cars. You know, we not only do we lock them up, but some people in some places in the United States, they put bars across the bar across the steering wheel and all sorts of things because there are thieves. You know, I will tell you, I have met some nice thieves before. In fact, the Lord has blessed me to where really, he's blessed me to the point where the thieves that I've ran across are probably the nicest thieves that's ever been. I remember when I was living in Oklahoma, I had bought a bicycle. Now, if I don't buy many bicycles, okay? But my kids, they had the bikes, and I wanted to ride with the kids on the bikes and things like that. So I bought myself a bicycle. And it's probably the first one I had since I was a teenager. And it was a nice bike. I have to admit, it was a nice bike. And I remember we parked our bikes there, and where we were living was right across from the church, right across the street. And I remember parking the bike there, and my kids had their bikes parked there. And I remember a man who went to the church. He showed up that morning, and he stopped me. He goes, "Pastor, I need to tell you something." I said, "Well, what's that?" He goes, "Well, I'm just giving you some advice." He goes, "You know, this is a pretty good neighborhood, but there are thieves around." That's okay. He goes, "You see those bikes over there?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "You better chain them up." I was like, "Really?" He goes, "Oh, yeah. Oh, yes." I was like, "Well, I will." And really, I didn't. Yeah, I kind of put it off. 2 days later, I go somewhere, and I come back to the house, and I see the kids' bikes sitting there. Theirs were old. And I see this other old bike sitting there. I'd never seen it before in my life. And it was an old, rusty women's bike. I looked, I was like, something don't look right. And my kids came out and goes, "Yeah, Dad, when did you get that bike?" I said, "I didn't. Somebody had been driving by on their bicycle, decided they liked mine more, and traded me." Now, I think that's a pretty nice thing to do. I mean, it could have been worse. It could have left me no bike at all. Problem is, the rest of the time, I had to ride around an old rusty woman's bike, okay? I guess that's better than nothing, all right? And so, really, I'll tell you something else that happened, too. The same place, the air conditioning quit working, one of those window air conditioners, it quit working. It was old. I mean, it was really old. So we decided to take it out. And, you know, with air conditioners, you've got to drain the coolant out of them or nobody will take them, okay? And so I took it out, and what we did is we put it on the front porch. And I had called a guy and said, "Hey, can you come pick this thing up?" He goes, "I can't do it today. I'll come pick it up tomorrow. I said, okay, that'll be fine. It'll be sitting on the front porch. And he was just going to take it and dispose of it. Well, the next morning I walk out there, and it's gone. I mean, nice, Steve. And so I called him up. I was like, I thought you said that you weren't going to come till later on day. He goes, I'm not. You didn't pick up the air conditioner? No. Somebody had taken it. You know, one thing I've learned is this. You know, if you want to get rid of something, put it out there on the side of the street and don't say free, because nobody will ever take it if you put free on it. Put, say, $50. Put a price tag on it, $50. I guarantee you'll be gone by morning. Amen? Why? There are thieves in the world. Thieves. And so when we look at the Bible, we learn that there are a lot of thieves in this world. And, you know, there are shady deals in this world. Politicians, CEOs, they do it every day. I heard one estimate that said if you stopped all theft in America, we would balance the national budget in 3 years. In this world, there are three basic thieves. Three basic thieves. First of all, you have your simple thief. Now, that's your common, ordinary, everyday thief. He steals things like CDs and cigarettes and batteries and bicycles, air conditioners, cars and the like. And, you know, basically, you buy it and we'll take it type of thing. That is your basic thief. It's like the rich man told his wife to fire the maid because he caught her stealing some bath towels. His wife asked, which towels did she take? He answers, the one that we took on vacation from the Holiday Inn. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Now, you think it's funny. I'm not going to ask how many people have traveled and came home with those little tiny shampoo bottles. I'm just saying. Some of the simple thieves are shoplifters. Did you know the U.S. Department of Commerce estimates that 35 million Americans that shoplift every year in our country? That is 1 in 50 shoppers. And only about 5 million get caught. Next time you go to Walmart, look around at the other 500 people in there, and you'll realize that 10 of them are stealing something. You know who pays for that? The consumer does. We do. We pay for that. The simple thief is one who basically steals money from their parents or steals money from a jar. Simple thieves are the one who glance at the neighbor's paper, their neighbor's paper when they're taking a test and steal their answers. That's being a thief. We call it cheating on tests, but that's being a thief. The simple thief is the one who looks left and right and looks every direction before he takes something, but you know what direction he doesn't look up? He doesn't look up. Because the Lord sees everything. In fact, Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Every time that you, listen folks, when a person steals something, by the way, I couldn't help but notice that, you know how the Lord works. He's just amazing. Brother Jeremy was looking for pens this morning in his auditorium. And he couldn't find any. Do you realize that this church has filled up every pocket in here at least 4 times in the last 2 years? Okay? Now, I'm just gonna leave that out there for you, and I'm thinking to myself, man, I'm preaching on stealing this morning. Amen? It's the same way in my office. I have to buy new pens and put them inside that little holder. I have to put them in there about once every 6 months because they evaporate. Okay? And so the thing of it is we steal, we take things, and sometimes we don't even realize we've done it. But here's what the thing I'm wondering is this, and we're all guilty of it. Remember, we're all guilty of breaking every one of these commandments. It's one thing to take something by accident. We go to the bank, we sign our name on a check, we put the pen in our pocket, we don't think twice about it. But I have to wonder when you get home and you start to see all these pens sitting there with First Interstate Bank and Wells Fargo Bank and Graceway Baptist Church written on it, what do you do then? Amen? And what do you say? We say, well, one of these days I really should take that pen back, but we never do. This is the common thief, just your basic thief. But then there's another type of thief, and that is the sophisticated thief. There are many Christians today that would fall into this category, and they probably don't even realize that they're stealing. Now, these sophisticated thieves are the thieves that steal their employer's time. They steal their employer's time. It's been estimated that the average employee spends 20% of their time goofing off. That's on the clock. And over half the workers surveyed said that they call in sick on occasion when really they were just sick of working and didn't want to come in. By the way, I think that number is on the rise. It's on the rise. Now, the truth is that when a person does that, they're a thief. Other employees told of coming in late and leaving early, taking extended breaks, falsifying their time card, making personal calls when not allowed, surfing the internet while on the job, and lying on expense accounts. These are employees that were interviewed. Folks, that's stealing. Why? Because when that employer, when you punch in your time card, you're on the clock. That is the employer's time, not yours. It's the employer's time. And if you do something that is on your time, when it's the employer's time, then you're taking his time. I know we don't like to hear that, but that's the truth. That is the truth. It's stealing. And there are a lot of people who steal from their employers, but they are the sophisticated thieves. But they're not the only sophisticated thief, because sometimes the sophisticated thieves can be the employers themselves. Turn, if you would, over to James chapter 5. You see, it works both ways. I mean, certainly we know that employees steal from their employers. They steal, hopefully they don't steal the stuff that, you know, the employer is trying to sell. I mean, that would be just horrible. But they do steal their time. But sometimes the employers themselves are just as guilty. In James chapter 5, look if you would at verse 4. It says, "Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you, kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. Ye have lived in pleasure on earth and have been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter." What he's saying is this, is the employer here in this case, he's not paying them fairly for the job that they're doing. In other words, they're doing a job and he's holding back pay that really should go to them. He's undercutting them. He's lowballing them. And that's a form of stealing as well. If you tell somebody you're going to do something as an employer, "I'm going to provide this for you, I'm going to pay this for you, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that," and then you don't do it, that's equally stealing. That's just as bad as the employee stealing from you. Amen? Again, these are sophisticated employees. And so we need to be careful about that. And so the sophisticated thief is one who is dishonest in the employer. It could be the employer or the employee. The sophisticated thief is also one who is dishonest when it comes to his taxes. And again, this is a good time of the year to talk about that. Okay? Why? Because we're all going to be filling out our taxes here pretty soon. Again, I want to remind you that your tax contributions are on the back table. But we're all going to be doing our taxes, and we're all going to be tempted. You say, "I don't do my taxes. I have somebody else do them." Yes, but when they call and ask you questions, you're going to tell the truth. You know, I'll tell you this, there are a lot of people who will do just about anything to make sure that they don't have to pay really what they should pay. Now, I understand that the tax laws are messed up. I understand that. And I understand that there's a lot of taxation without representation. I understand that. I'm not going to get into that this morning. But if the government says these are the rules of doing taxes, and then you try to do something to make it easier on yourself that the rules do not allow for, that's stealing. It is. If somebody says, "Did you make any more than what you're claiming?" and you know good and well that you have, and you don't claim it, that's stealing. Now, people don't like to hear that, but that's the way it is, folks. Why? Because according to the government, that belongs to you. And you say, "Well, yeah, but I believe it belongs to me." Well, yeah, but by the law, who does it belong to? And you say, "Well, I just don't believe that we should pay taxes anyway." Well, then you don't believe your Bible. Listen, do you understand today that the Bible does say that taxes, I mean, that the Lord says that taxes can be asked of people. I'll give you an example. When Jesus was confronted about what belonged to Caesar, he said this. He said, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things which ought be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's." Now, according to what he said, you know what he's telling you? That God has some things that are his. And Caesar has some things that are his. And the things that are Caesar's, you're to render unto Caesar. And those things that are God's, you're to render unto God. You know what he's telling you? He's telling you that if you owe taxes, pay them. That's what he's saying. Okay, you say, "Oh, I just don't believe that. I mean, after all, that's before Jesus went on the cross." Okay, Romans 13:7 was after he arose, after he ascended. And here's what Paul said. He said, "Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom." You know what he's saying? Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. He's saying, if there are taxes due, pay them. That's what he's saying. Now, no normal human enjoys paying taxes. Nobody in this room can honestly say, in my opinion, I don't think anybody in this room could possibly say, "Oh good, it's tax time. I can't wait to pay Uncle Sam." Nobody thinks that way. But taxes are necessary. Again, I'm not getting into the whole, you know, what's fair and all that. I am saying that taxes themselves are necessary because, well, we do have to pay our law enforcement. We do have to pay, you know, our firemen. How many of you love to have a road without potholes? Now, I'm not going to get into the, wait a second, Pastor, we pay taxes and there's still potholes. I'm not getting into that. I'm just saying that if you're going to want some of these things, then you've got to pay for some of these things. But the sophisticated thief is the one who steals from his employer time in an honest day's work. A sophisticated thief is one, maybe an employer himself, not paying the workers the pay that they're worth. The sophisticated thief is the one who cheats on his taxes. Another thing that a sophisticated thief steals from is his creditors. You know, Christians should pay their bills on time. Every Christian in here should pay your bills on time. It's a good testimony, wouldn't you say? I mean, after all, if you say you're a Christian, shouldn't you pay your bills on time? What kind of testimony would it be if this church were late on its bills? It says Graceway Baptist Church right there on it. But if we're late on our bills, what kind of testimony is that? We should pay our bills on time. Now, here's what Romans 13:8 says. In fact, Romans 13:8 is probably one of the most misunderstood verses in the Bible. It says this, "Owe no man anything." Now, here's what a lot of people think. They say, "Well, now that means you cannot go out and get a loan. That means you cannot go out there and buy a house. You must pay cash for your house, otherwise you can't buy it." It says, "Oh, right there, owe no man anything." Can't go out and buy a new car. Can't go out and buy a used truck for $2,000. No, you can't do that unless you pay for it by cash. It says, "Owe no man anything." Folks, that's not what it's talking about in that passage. If you read the whole passage, and then you talk about how the Lord in the Bible describes paying interest and who should charge interest and who should not charge interest. Question, can you charge interest if somebody's paying cash? No. So somebody has to be owing somebody something in order to pay interest. Amen? Now the Lord goes through all that in your Bible, and he tells you certain things, that there are certain people who shouldn't charge interest and there are certain people who should charge interest and all those things. I'm one of those people who actually thinks that Christians amongst themselves, if we're all honest, should never charge interest to other Christians. But that's just my opinion. Amen? Take it for whatever it's worth, okay? But it's not saying that you can't get a loan. You say, "Well, then why is it saying, owe no man anything?" Let me ask you something. If you get a loan, and that payment on that loan is $200 a month, and it's due on the 1st, if you pay that bill on the 1st, do you owe that person anything? Mm-mm. Not until the next time it's due. And what are you supposed to do? Pay your bill. At that point, do you owe anybody anything? No. That's what it's talking about. Pay your bills on time. If you don't pay your bills on time, then guess what? You're stealing. That's bad, folks. Not only does it go against your commandment, but it also kills your testimony. Listen, and you say, "Well, what happens if I'm not able to pay?" Then contact them and tell them what the deal is. Just don't stop paying them. Because that's stealing, folks, and it's not right, and it'll kill a person's testimony. And so God here, he says, owe no man anything, but we're talking about the sophisticated thief. I'll tell you something else, too. There are people today that put electricity in somebody else's name. There are people today that will tie into somebody else's DirecTV so they can watch the same thing. That's called stealing. And then I'm not going to get into the whole gist of it, but I know somebody right now who put his name on with somebody else on a certain thing on TV to where they wouldn't have to pay for it. This guy right here had to pay for it, and it's actually two accounts, but they put two on the same account. That's stealing. That's stealing. And you know, Christians ought not to do that. As Christians, we must do the right thing. 1 Peter 1:16 says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether therefore ye eat, drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. You think that you can tap into somebody else's cable? You think that glorifies God? You think that's being holy? Wronging a creditor or stealing his service or not paying him, paying him on time? That doesn't glorify God at all. We must glorify God in everything that we do. Now, I want to point out this morning that Satan is all about taking. He's all about robbing. He kills and he destroys. And may I tell you that Satan initiated man's fall in the garden by getting Eve to take something that doesn't belong to her. By getting her to take the fruit that belonged to the Lord. But he is all about taking, taking, and taking. But you know what the Lord's about? Giving. You know, Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. You know why he would say that? Listen, you will never hear any devil say that. In fact, a person today that, let's say, the more like the world that you are, the more you're going to be a taker than a giver. But God's one about giving. You realize God gave everything for everybody in this room. I mean, he gave everything. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He's all about giving. May I tell you that as Christians, the more we become like Christ, the more we should be about giving and not taking. If you steal something, if you take something that isn't yours, that is as far away from being like Christ as you could possibly get. Is when you take something that isn't yours. Because God gave something that was his for you. Gave it. And so, as Christians, we are to be like Christ. That's what the name Christian means. And so, you have the simple thieves of the world, and you have the sophisticated thieves of the world, but then also you have the spiritual thieves. The spiritual thieves. Are we all in agreement this morning that God owns it all? Everything belongs to God. I mean, everything that you have, God's given you. He's the one who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. God has everything. And he doesn't need anything material from you and me. Would you agree with that this morning? He doesn't need anything that you have materially. If he did, you'd take it with you when you died. But everything that you have, you can leave here. Job says, naked I came into the world, naked I'll go out. That's us. You're not going to be able to take anything, folks. Your clothes, your car. You can't even take those pennies you're saving for the penny contest in April. You can't take anything. Why? God doesn't need it. He's already got everything. And everything you have is because of him. Now, there are Christians today who, in their heart, they'll give just about anything else. They'll give to everything else when it comes to their heart. In other words, they'll give their heart to sports, or they'll give their heart to their job, or they'll give their heart to whatever it may be, but for some reason, they won't give their heart to the Lord. Or sometimes Christians will do, they'll say, you know what, I got to make time for the Lord, so I'll make sure I pray real quick before I go to bed, and, pray for about 15 seconds. God is great, God is good, And then we think that we've really done something for the Lord. Or maybe we'll read a verse every day. Now listen, if that's all you can read, God bless you. Just keep on reading a verse. It's better not reading anything at all. But don't sit there and think that all of a sudden you're giving God everything that God wants from you if you're only reading a verse a day. Remember this, God wants the first fruits of what you have. You realize if we gave God the amount of time, listen, I'm not going to get into the tithe this morning, but let's just say for argument's sake that we were to give God 10% of what's due him. That's 10% of your time. There's 24 hours in a day. Now, if you say, well, and personally, I think if you throw in sleep time there, you're robbing God anyway. Okay, that should be the time if you're awake. 10% of that? 10% of 8 hours? You know how much time that is? But yet we'll spend time watching TV. We'll spend time playing games. We'll spend time watching movies. We'll spend time, you know, as much as I hate to admit it, yesterday I did listen to some of the impeachment thing. I wouldn't recommend it to anybody. Okay? If you want to get mad, watch the impeachment. I don't care whose side you're on. It's just you, it's going to make you mad. But we'll give our time to those things. But we won't spend time in the Bible. We won't spend time on our knees in prayer. We will not give God what's due to God, the first spoils. And then we as Christians wonder how this country ever got that bad. We wonder, we look around and we say, man, how come people are thinking like this? How come people aren't coming to church like they used to? How come people aren't getting saved like they used to? How come there's not revival going on? How come there's not tent meetings going on? Because really, even the best of us don't give God what's due him. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. That Bible says that we are not our own. We belong to him. We are his servants. We're the ones supposed to be serving him. We're on his time. And the Lord says, listen, if you'll just give me the first spoils of your time, and nobody in this room does it, including your pastor. We're all guilty of it. We're all guilty of spiritually stealing from God. What do? We're supposed to read our Bible, spend time with the Lord, spend time in prayer. Have you ever thought about if we all spent, let's say, here's a challenge to you. If you pray right now, double the time you pray. Now, and I don't know how much time you pray, not interested, but just double it and see the difference. When it comes to reading your Bible, however long you read your Bible, double it and see the difference. I guarantee you God will bless you. You know why? Because you're not stealing from him like you were. He'll bless that. You know, that when we're talking about the Ten Commandments, when we look at stealing, all of us think, well, I haven't stolen anything. In fact, you know, when you go out witnessing people, one of the things that I say right off the bat, I was like, have you ever stolen anything? And everybody says, oh, no. Liar. And guess what? That's a commandment you broke too. Amen? By the way, you know, not only is looking leading to stealing, but so does coveting. By the way, that's also one of the commandments. You ever notice how those commandments all work together? I mean, if you think about it, when you worship another god, you know what you're doing? You're robbing God because you belong to him and you're taking something that belongs to him and give it to somebody else. You see, it all works together. That's the reason James tells you, if you break one, you've broken them all. When you commit adultery, you know what you're doing? You're stealing. How many of you see that? You're stealing somebody else's spouse. All of them work together. So listen, if you break one, you're guilty of breaking them all. And everybody in this room is guilty of every one of them. Aren't you glad that the Lord gives grace? Aren't you glad that the Lord keeps you saved and will keep you saved until he gets you to heaven? Aren't you glad that you confess any sin today and the Lord will forgive you of it? Every time I read those commandments, I'm thankful that the Lord is a graceful God. Amen? Let's pray.